I've already spoken with some therapists and they are staunch in their anti-medication stance, which is interesting. And then obviously we've spoken on the other side of the coin where no, it definitely has its place. So it's going to be a good conversation point for people when they leave about how they feel, and people that are on medication and how they feel, and vice versa.
Tēnā koutou, ngā hui e whaha tino, harikoutaku nā kou e ke tia ia koutou. We're giving you a backstage pass, sharing insights about the mahi that goes into creating great theatre with Auckland Theatre Company. Come intrigued, leave inspired.
Kia ora and welcome to Backstage Pass. I'm Maxine London and I'm giving you a backstage pass to discover what it takes to create exceptional theatre in Aotearoa. Come on this journey with me as I talk to directors, actors, creatives and designers and learn more about the work that goes on behind the curtain. We'll uncover juicy anecdotes from the rehearsal room, we'll dive deeper into important themes and we'll discover how much hard mahi it really takes to take plays from page to stage. The Effect was written by BAFTA, Golden Globe and Emmy award-winning writer of Succession, Lucy Prebble. Two young people enter a clinical drug trial and fall for each other hard, but they don't know whether their love is real or if it's a side effect from the drugs. Fresh from a critically acclaimed season on London's West End, The Effect is about love and sorrow and the complexities of human emotions and relationships. Dr. Lorna James is one of the doctors that is overseeing the drug trial. She faces a few hurdles and ethical dilemmas of her own. And today, I'm joined by the actress who plays Dr. Lorna James, Sarah Wiseman. Sarah is a multi-award-winning actress, known for her work on screen and in theatre. And she's recently wrapped filming for Disney's Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. She's been working internationally for quite some time now, and it is such a pleasure to have her back in the country for The Effect. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
This is your first appearance with Auckland Theatre Company in 20 years.
About that, yeah.
How does it feel being back?
I'm absolutely wrapped and delighted to be back with the team, for sure.
You've had quite the career from stage to screens. What's something that you've been particularly proud of?
I think, in New Zealand, I've had the chance to work on some great shows. I think probably the first big highlight would have been a show way back called Mercy Peak. That was with South Pacific Pictures, which was, I think we shot on film. It's back in that era. It was about 60 episodes. And then the other latest Kiwi ones would have been like Under the Vines and One Lane Bridge in the Gulf. So some good grunty ones to get stuck into.
But yeah.
Some amazing ones in Australia as well.
Has there been like a particular highlight for you?
I think A Place to Call Home, which was a big success in Australia and around the world. That was pretty special. Just the whole production, the cast, crew stories, and a wonderful character that I got to explore. So yeah, just feel very privileged and lucky to be a part of that one.
Mm, cool. And you've spent quite a lot of time both on stage and on screen. Can you talk to me a little bit about the difference between working on the two?
They're completely different beasts in that when you're on screen, obviously you're filming out of order, so everything's all mixed up. There's a lot of prep and waiting around to rush and get the scene before the end of the day, before the call sheet's finished. It's a different kind of fitness to when you're on stage, where you're working in a very procedural way and you get to really spend time on a particular bit of text and kind of do the deep dive down with the same ensemble for a long time. And so yeah, they're both wonderful in their own different ways.
I've also heard the saying that every audience member sees a different play.
Exactly.
Because as it's live on stage, you know, things can differ slightly.
Yeah, it's like we're running analogies just before, and that once you get into the river and you step out and you get back in, it's a completely different river. So every audience is a different step into the river. So that's what we've got to keep in mind.
Do you have a preference?
No, I don't. I love them both.
Great. Yeah. I guess they both have quite different pros and cons.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
Let's get a bit into The Effect now. Can you walk me through what the play is about from your character, Dr. James's perspective?
So she's been hired by Toby, who is her ex-lover. And she's known him for some time. She's a psychiatrist, and she's been hired to oversee the volunteer drug trial. She's very thorough, very steadfast. So her coming at it is very methodical and pretty much anti-pharmaceuticals is her headspace. And she's going to do her damnedest to make sure that nothing gets over the line that isn't completely clear and safe. So that's her trajectory going in. Obviously, a lot of things buffet her along the way that come up through the trial and through reconnecting with Toby as well.
Mm. It's quite interesting that she's in the workspace that she's in, but she's quite anti-pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
I spoke to a dear friend, Cam Enwitten. He works at Seneca Clinic, and I was talking to him about that, about, you know, it's the psychiatrists that have the power to prescribe, and what was his views on that. And his views were really fascinating in that, for him, he wants his clients to move on. He doesn't want to be with them forever. He doesn't want to be them medicated forever. Otherwise, he feels like he's not doing his job, which I think is a wonderful sort of, it's the virtue and the best way of, I guess, being a practitioner in that field. However, of course, like anywhere, and you've seen them on shows like Dope Sick and Painkillers with the US OxyContin, and that there are probably some charlatans out there that are just after the commission on the drugs and just want to medicate and get that person through. So it's such a shadowy area to be exploring. So I'm really interested to see what the audience think in terms of pharmaceuticals and drug taking as opposed to just working things through with therapy.
So at the beginning of the play, Dr. Lorna James, she kind of comes across as kind of detached from the other characters, but as the play goes on, you really see her begin to open up and start to express herself with some of the other characters. Can you talk to me a little bit about her sort of character arc?
Yeah, I think there's a line that Lorna says, which is, you know, I'm not used to doing this type of work, paraphrasing here. I'm used to sitting with people and talking with them. So I think it's in her innate nature is to want to engage and want to connect rather than just take down the data. And so she finds herself being caught up into the love story of Tristan and Connie and perhaps bends some rules to protect them and to keep them within the trial when they go a little bit AWOL. So she starts to emotionally invest and gets a little bit caught up in her own, I guess, her own fabric and interweaving with them, which for these sort of trials would be definitely dismissible. Mm. Yeah.
So what sort of things going through her mind as she's kind of making these decisions to open up and get a bit involved?
I think what she's seeing is she's seeing triggering stuff and echoes of her own past and when she sees and meets Connie, who is a psychology student, so maybe there's a little bit of mentor-mentee happening there. She cares for her a bit in that way, and it's a bit of a surprise to see someone coming into the clinic of her, I guess, her intellect that she wants to. She's very curious as to why she's there in the trials. So a bond sort of happens there, and then Tristan's just sunshine, as Connie says, and so he's just affable and charming and I think she just kind of warms to him. So, yeah, she's very affected by them, even though she just wants to potentially stay clear.
What do you think she learns by the end of the play?
I'm going to leave that to the audience.
All right.
She goes on a big journey, and I'd be very interested to see what the audience think. Because, it is a big turning point. But the turning point kind of happens right at the end of the play. So,
Yeah, cool. Your character, she's quite a highly respected woman in science, so she'd be quite a role model to quite a lot of other women coming up in the field, Connie being one of them. Mm. The Cut recently wrote an article that said that Lucy Prebble's best characters are going through breakdowns, and we can see that in Succession.
Mm.
Can you see that in Dr. Lorna James?
Yeah, absolutely. She's right on the cusp of breakdown, breakthrough, depends how what side of the coin you're looking. Everything's very triggering in the environment in ways that she would not have expected. I think there's a beautiful moment that Lucy's plopped into the script, which is a memory moment where we go back in time and we see what was and what could have been. And I think it's a wonderful insight into her past and how she used to radiate to where she is now. So, there's quite the crack that comes for sure.
Are there any aspects of Dr. James's personality that you find particularly interesting or maybe challenging to play?
She's probably way smarter than I am. She comes very much from the head, very sharp, very dry, very witty, and very clear in what she wants. Tendencies of that, but maybe not so much. So yeah, it's nice to play someone that's so direct and kind of unraveling underneath, but on top there's like this good armor, I suppose.
Mm. And are there any like particular techniques that you're using to bring authenticity to the character?
Just trusting and making sure that the script and the story is heard, getting out of the way of it, really. Getting out of the way and doing what I can to affect the other person in the scene, or persons, I should say. Yeah, to be really clear about that.
How do you think that the audience is going to perceive Dr. James?
I think they'll see a lot of themselves in her, for sure. She keeps up appearances, and I think in today's world a lot of people do that. I've already spoken with some therapists and they are staunch in their anti-medication stance, which is interesting. And then obviously we've spoken on the other side of the coin where no, it definitely has its place. So it's going to be a good conversation point for people when they leave about how they feel, and people that are on medication and how they feel, and vice versa, whether or not people would then go on medication or come off it or go and sign up and talk to someone about their well-being. And the other really amazing thing that's nothing to do with the medication, I guess, is that when we break ourselves down into just the chemicals that we are, which is the dopamine hit that we want all seek, or the serotonin hit, when we look at love being that chemical reaction, having that conversation with someone.
Absolutely. There are quite a few moments and themes in the play that could be quite sensitive to some audience members. Mm. How do you approach that as an actor, like trying to hold respect to topics that are sensitive or current or relatable, or you know, all these things, in a way that is authentic to the character and to the play?
I think what's great, and I know that Toby gets the opportunity to share this, Toby being Jared's character, that there has been a shift in awareness and comprehension and understanding and visibility of people feeling more comfortable about talking about how they feel and are they okay. And this, I think, propels that. And that's what I sincerely hope for audiences, is that they'll walk and open up that conversation and perhaps have a bit of that conversation if they've never had it before, to inquire and become an investigator and a detective to actually how they feel, and know that that is just as important as when you break a leg or an arm, is if the brain is a little bit broken, you can mend it in some way or shape or another, and having the courage and the faith that you can adapt and change, because we can change our brain every day with the neural pathways that we can grow. So it's not over, you know, there's an opportunity to remake yourself, so to speak. Mm. And so, I mean, as we all are, I guess we're consciously adapting every day to what's coming at us, and from internals or externals. So my journey is to make sure that when I'm seeing counsellors, that I'm being honest and clear and open. And there's no shame in it. It's actually just I'm taking care of myself. That's absolutely what's really important. You know, you've just got to keep yourself engaged and not shut down, and feel safe. And, removing the stigmas that I think it's vital. You know, we go to a PT, a physical instructor at the gym who teaches us how to use the weights better or a better program. It just makes sense that you get a mental coach as well if you're needing it. So that's kind of what I do. And then obviously we're very generous and clear about tapping in and out with each other, our actors, that is, before and after, so that we're all, that's the play, leave it on the floor, and now we're back to life.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, because I've talked to someone else before who said that he found it very difficult going home at the end of the day, right, and leaving his character here in, yep, the rehearsal room. Is that a challenge that you sometimes face?
I've had that before, yeah. And when I was doing A Place to Call Home, my character was in one of the seasons, early on in one of the seasons, she was raped and had to carry that for most of the season. Until she hid it, and then the confession, and it all came out. And I found that there was a bit of a residue that stayed with me for that season. And by the end of the season, when we wrapped, I had this big release of tears and hadn't realised how much I'd been carrying it. I think with this one, because I'm aware that can happen, that I will be doing very deliberate tap-in, tap-out sort of exercises, so just so I can delineate, this is Sass, this is Lorna. Yeah.
Does that kind of come with practice?
Yeah, there's some really effective tools that are out there in books and in acting classes and stuff, and I think you just pick the ones that work for you, and I think they just get easier and easier.
Yeah.
Then you can fully invest and not fear that, oh my goodness, how will this now infiltrate the rest of my life and will I be able to put it down? I mean, I say this now, I say this is what's happening, but yeah, so as much as I am, I can.
So what's the key kind of takeaway that you want the audience to take away from either your character or from the play in general?
I just hope it allows audiences who are scared, who are fearful, who are going through things, that they feel like they're seen, heard, and they have the courage to talk to someone or talk to themselves or just give themselves permission to feel safe in what they feel and do what they need to do to make sure that they're feeling healthy.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for your time today. After 20 years, I'm sure you're feeling a mix
of... I'm excited!
Yeah. I was going to say, nervous, you must excited. Be a bit of nerves as
of
well.
Of course.
I know.
Well, it hasn't been 20 years I haven't been on stage, but with ATC. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm sure the audience is going to be super excited to see you back in action with ATC.
Do my best.
I'm very much looking forward to seeing the play take shape on stage. It's going to be awesome.
Thanks, Maxine.
Previews for The Effects start on April 16th. You don't want to miss out on this one. Get your tickets at atc.co.nz.
Thank you for joining us for Backstage Pass. If you enjoyed the episode, be sure to share it with your theatre-loving friends. And hit subscribe for more insightful conversations. Nga manaakitanga. Come intrigued, leave inspired.